You are listening to the Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., the founder of the Body Regeneration Method. And I am here to empower you and teach you how to connect to the God consciousness like you've never connected before. Tune in every Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on Transformation Talk Radio, where I combine science, spirituality, and ministry to help you unlock the secrets within so you can finally let go of what's holding you back. If you are truly ready to break free and bring in the new and stop wasting your time, join me and together let's unlock your superpowers so you can live your extraordinary life. Welcome to this episode of the Tracy L. Clark Show. I am so thrilled today. We have live, you know, we're always live. My friend, an amazing woman, Dr. JJ Kelly, and you guys have been saying, I need to talk to this woman because you're all going through the same crap with this world transitioning. What do you do with your kids? What are you guys doing? How's it affecting each other? And we're going to have that conversation going. I've had people already send me some messages, say, Trace, can you ask her these, please? I can't catch the show. I have to watch it later. We're going to do that. But you can also call in today, 1-800-930-2819. Zach will let me know if I got that wrong. As always, I've had a little brain blip today. But it is. It's transitioning times. It's crazy times. And if you have a question for her, now's the time to call in. And it's, I know it's tough out there, and I hear it. And I know there's an easy way to go through it, and there's a hard way. So we want to help you with the hard way. So welcome. I am so thrilled you joined us today.
Thank you for having me back. I'm pretty excited.
Nice and early. Like I said, for you, I was just joking, guys. It's 8 a.m.
This is love, I'll tell you this. For me to be like functioning at 8 a.m.
Well, I am so thrilled. And I know I was like, is it okay? And it shows because you're dedicated to the kids and you're dedicated to making a change. And nobody could have guessed that we were going to be, we knew transition. We know, like I know for a long time, 2020 was a year of mass awakening craziness, but not a kind of quite on this scale. Like people, we knew it was happening. But what are you noticing with the kids? Because I'm not sure where you are, but where I am and a lot of places up in the GTA and in Canada, schools are shut down until September. So children are being homeschooled. They're not having interaction. Parents are not knowing how to deal with this. They're fighting with each other. They're frustrated. What do you see? What? I just want to hand that floor over to you, girl.
It's a pretty big question. What am I seeing? I am seeing widespread regression. That's and perfect. Not just by kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a natural thing, right? We regress in times of distress. It does happen. We go back to the old like survival tactics. Even if we've learned healthy ones, which, you know, all of my participants have learned the skills. However, it's like they blanked out and forgot to practice them. And so they say the words, but they're not doing it. So there's a lot of saying the thing that seems like it's healthy while just completely, it's self-harming, actually.
It is. You know, I'm so happy you brought that up. I, this is probably my biggest, if people say to me, what triggers me? It's like when you know better and you're doing the old thing, like you're not taking the action.
Well,
because
said.
Everyone wants the change and they're really good at speaking it, like you said, and they know better.
Yeah. They totally know better. And isn't that sort of like a, you know better than that. But it is that. You do know better. Like, get your shit together. You have the skills. Use them. Don't just talk about using them. They're like sandwiching.
Amen.
With crap. You know, like a bullshit sandwich is what's happening here.
But it's,
and to watch them use the skills I taught them against themselves is maddening. Crazy.
Do you think that part of that right now, and sometimes when I look at it, I look at there's this, you know, massive collection of people, you know, all up in arms. There's misinformation being out there, no matter, you know, depending who you listen to, where you listen to. It's like there's so much distraction, and it's kind of like there's a new road coming, but nobody knows what's on it. So we'll just go back to these old bad behaviors because they worked before.
Which they didn't, but you survived.
Survival skills.
You know, it got you through, so they did kind of work to an extent. But if only it were merely distraction. Yeah. I mean, distraction can be an actual skill if it's temporary, but to go inundate yourself with social media and media of misinformation and fear-mongering is self-harm. You know better! Keep taking it in.
I am so glad you said that. And the kids right now are glued to social media. And it's like I said the other day, and some people are like, oh, why would you say it that way? But you gotta get back to going within and knowing what's right. Like they're spending time listening to all this negativity and filling their brains and then coming up with, you know, ideas that aren't even real half the time. And you're like, It is self-harm, and all of that negativity is self-harm. But if people could see what it did to their actual energetic field, which I see, I'd be like, you would run away. Like if people saw what happened, if they smoked a lot of weed, they would run away. If they saw what happened when they watched all that negative energy and how it came into the body and how it affects, they would run away. But most people can't see that. So they just, oh, whatever, I'll just fill my brain. And kids, parents are telling me, the kids, and I don't know what you found here. And then we're going to go to Sherry. She has a question on the line. Cool. I don't know what you find, but parents are telling me they can't even get their kids off of social media because, here they're just allowed to go out, but now you can't even go to the park, but, you know, tell a kid to stay 6 feet away from another kid. They can't do it.
What do you mean they can't get them off social media? Take the phone away.
Well, that's what I say, but what do you suggest? Because they tell me, well, I can't. I know with my kid, I took her phone away and her behavior changed and we went and played.
Yeah, you take the drug away and then they detox.
So parents listening, I have someone on my side.
And I don't mean to be judgmental. I mean, I think, even having them watch Avatar, The Last Airbender or something, mind candy entertainment is one thing. Yeah. Social media, negativity, stuff about COVID, cyberbullying, you protect your kids from that.
Yeah.
It's one thing if you want a break and you want them to be distracted by something else. I'm not going to judge parents for wanting an hour to themselves or whatever.
Or needing to work.
Make sure they're taking in something that isn't going to hurt them.
Yeah.
And you're the boss. Parents, you're the boss. They do what you tell them to do. And you don't have to explain why. You don't have to.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I know. So many, I saw the other day, I was on the grocery store and I saw this 3-year-old to the mother go waving her hand. So people listening can't see. It's like, you can't talk to me like that. And the mother's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, oh my God, you're turning your child into a monster. I had to walk away. I was like, wow, the 3-year-old is totally in charge. Imagine where that's going to be when there's 13, 12, 11.
When they're bigger than you.
Yeah. Yeah. And wow. So because you could tell, and I was kind of over listening, and I'm like, because I was getting my groceries, and I'm like, wow, that mother doesn't want to be seen as, you know, the bad guy. Yeah, the bad guy. So I was like, you are instilling, and she had her little phone. Like she was 3, like maybe 4, if that. I'm not great at age, but I have 2 children. So I kind of know what the age groups are, even though mine are in their 20s. But yeah, I'm seeing it all the time. Yeah.
That I was just saying to one of my participants who came over to pick up a binder yesterday, that my favorite part, you know, I read the book. My book, I read the chapters on YouTube for free because
I can't stand the
audiobook at all. I can't stand someone else messing up my book. So my favorite part in it, because I'm reintroduced to it, you know, you go into a zone and you write it and you don't even know what.
So
my favorite part is this section that says, don't be an effing narcissist. Like, you made a person. It's your job to be the heavy.
Yeah.
You want to be your kid's friend. You want to be the good guy. You want them to like you. No, no, no. That's about you. That's about you. It's not about you. You made a person. Now take responsibility for lovingly kicking their ass. And I don't mean physically.
Yeah, yeah.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
Dropping the hammer, I call it.
Boom. Hey, I pull my young kids out of the store sometimes. I have one, my younger one. She could test you. Yes. By kicking and screaming, throwing on my shoulder, cart stays there, but she learned. She learned never to do it again.
And those are boundaries. That is what boundaries are, is the no. Yeah. The no, where the container is, where the line is, you cross it, and then there's a consequence. And that consequence is meant to put you back into the safe zone. You're supposed to test it. You're a kid, particularly teenagers. You're supposed to push those boundaries to learn logic about choices and consequences. And then I put you back here to let you know, no, 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 back here. And then you can relax and just be pissed at me instead of anxious and ashamed because I let you go out and you don't know what's out there.
Yeah.
And you don't, nobody's there to be like, no, wrong. You're back here. That's a kind thing to do.
It's loving. It's loving. Yeah. And it's, you know, and I would always reiterate, I'm like, I love you, but that behavior stinks and isn't acceptable. It's the behavior we need to address. But parents would look at me like I was crazy back then, because she's like 22 now, right? And they're like, you're insane. All right. You want to take a caller?
Yeah.
All right. Zach, we have Sherry. Is that correct on the line?
Yes, we have Sherry from Pennsylvania. Sherry, you are live on the Tracy L. Clark Show.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi. I saw you answered on Facebook, so I was like, oh, I got to call anyways, so.
Yeah. Yay. Do you want to share your question so we can all, so Dr. JJ can help you?
Yes. My 12-year-old, we had a really rough night last night. We've been dealing with some dark energies in the house, and she has so much fear. And I totally get it. I just got control of my fear last week. Sorry, I'm out of breath. I was feeding chickens.
It's okay.
It was kind of strange. I left her room at 2:22 because she had had a bad dream. And not much later, like a phone on the kitchen table that hasn't been used. We had charged it, but it doesn't work. You can't press buttons. It was playing music, loud music. I was like, what the heck? So I put it outside and put salt on it. I don't know what else to do. So she's dealing with fears. She's almost 13. And the other question, her and her friend want to start a club at school. She already pitched it to the principal. For positivity, to help, I think she was trying to do 5th through 12th grade for girls. Mm-hmm. To help them just raise their vibration, basically. She talks, I talk to her all the time about that kind of stuff. But to help them, you know, it's a tough age, you know that.
Yeah.
I just wonder if you have any resources. And her dad brought up a good thing yesterday when she talked to him about it. Like, legally, is she allowed to do that kind of stuff? Does she have to have a school, like a psychologist, someone else involved or what?
So what's the question? Is she, I didn't get the first one, but the second one is that she wants to start a club. Is that okay to do? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. To be positive. I think kids can start those things if it's, as long as it's just spreading good messages, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure everyone's going to know she's not a licensed clinician.
No, she was asking if she needed somebody like you.
They were wondering if she needs one.
Do they positivity? Do they need someone like you, depending on what they're saying, I guess, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. That first part seems like it leads to the second. I would have her clean up her own
vibes.
You know, like, she has to get herself aligned with her own values before she's going to teach and lead anyone else.
I was talking to her about that. I said, honey, you've got to be living it before you, you know,
totally. Others. Totally. And, you know, 12th, 13th, I mean, how's, is that possible? I don't know. I think the giving is a great idea because maybe she's going to get out of her own anxious self-centeredness.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's causing, you know, all the regression right now is an anxious self-centeredness. Everybody's so panicked, they just go into themselves. So I love that she wants to be generous. Considering what I'm experiencing with my very well-trained 20-year-olds right now, I would say, probably a leader, an adult leader. Again, that selection would be rare too. I wouldn't want to put just some shrink with that group. Yeah. You know, you want somebody cool and real and also
because she's aware and spiritual and connected, and you do have some stuff going through the house. I can see, we'll move that out. I'll move that out for you. See what's happening. We can start to release that. But yeah, exactly like what you're saying. You want to have, it's really important to have a leader that's helping guide her, right? So, and that's what you're saying. And that's, you know, I think that's what you have to look for with her. So she can help to raise that vibration. Right. It's nice she's in school. She gets to go to school.
Somebody else is going to bring their fear to that group.
Yeah.
And she's not going to know how to
handle it,
dissipate and manage that. She's not going to kaboom up here. You know what I mean? Even if she wants to and has the instinct that that's the kinder thing to do, she's not going to do that. And if somebody poisons the well like that, it can spread really quickly.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's what that is my concern with it. I love the idea. That's what I was wondering if there's any programs already in place kind of that she could look online. None of the kids at school, she's talked to a lot of girls and none of them feel the school counselors really do anything.
Right. Yeah.
So she doesn't want one of them involved.
There's the key right there. They need someone to talk to. They need a positive vibration and they don't have it in their school. That's the good question right there.
Pretty
common.
What do you
say to that?
Yeah. What is she into? Like what's her thing?
She does theater, drama. She does FBLA, which is Future Business Leaders of America.
Wow.
She does student government. She loves to be involved in a lot. She's doing cross country.
You know, those theater groups, a lot of that stuff is online now. And there are a lot of like charity and social justice-y theater groups. You know, people go to different kids school, you know, like elementary schools and put on, you know, their Christmas show or whatever. I bet that there is something. I mean, if it were my kid, I would want them to hook up with a bunch of drag queens, because drag queens, particularly in the Bay Area, are so into community outreach and social justice, and they're so used to just letting go of negative projections that are put on them. They're experts at loving themselves in the face of adversity. So if it were my kid, I would want them to hook up with a group like that, because it's already an established charitable foundation, which I think you're instinctually going toward anyway. And whatever your views are on drag queen, it doesn't have to be that. But a lot of the theater groups do charity like work, and a lot, they're all online now. So
that's a beautiful idea, because it's inspiring.
Yeah. And that's creative too, and expressive. Some of that energy of being pent up can go somewhere, be expressed, expelled.
I love it. How does that feel?
Well, I'm glad you said online, because we are very much in the country. We don't have access to anything like that.
Yeah, online is perfect.
Look that up online and see.
So go online and then let me know, and I'll clean out your house for you, okay?
Okay, beautiful.
Sound like a plan?
Thank you.
All right, have an incredible day.
Make sure.
Say hi to your chickens. Thank you, ladies.
Okay, I have a question here. What would you suggest? So as people are in close quarters right now, if one of the parents is very, very negative all the time, and it's rubbing off on the kids, and the kids don't know how to deal with it. So you got one parent trying to be positive, and you got one very negative, very in fear, very a lot, you know, with what's going on. And so everything, and it affects them. What would you say?
Well, okay. I can be most, are you protecting somebody's identity with how you're asking that question?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause I can be of most use with the most specifics in a question. So yeah. Let's
a negative parent
about the identity. What are the specific behaviors that one of the parents is watching a ton of media and like putting fear into the family dynamic, or what are we talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, lots of media, always negative. Everything's a grump. Child's afraid to even speak up in front of the father.
Does the mom talk to the kids separately about?
They talk separately, but when they're around the dad's behavior, the kid starts to regress.
Well, sure.
Yeah, because you're
I would.
I used to. I know that one well. That's why I just say it's time to sometimes move along. But you know, I can't be so cut and dry on that.
And the dad can't be swayed to curb that behavior.
Not at this time.
Okay, so this is. I think I may have talked about this a little bit last time, but you know, it's that. When you don't have skills for managing anxiety and fear, you project it out in the form of criticism.
Yeah.
And
they're usually quite insecure when they're like that.
I mean, that is a fear response. So I actually have empathy for the dad, too. And I believe that most people know that barfing that kind of negativity on your kid probably isn't on. So he probably does know better. That seems to be the theme.
Yeah.
Know better. You know, I wonder, my goal is that people come out of this without a big mess of shame.
Yeah.
To clean up. If you're not behaving according to your values in quarantine, that shit's not going to just disappear once you're not locked up in your house anymore. Now you're going to have messes to clean up later. So acting according to your values, meaning is it according to your values to say every negative thing and watch your kids' anxiety level just raise? Okay.
That's why truth serum's coming out now. You're in these isolations with people. Totally. And I say to people, and with that question, say, you know, it's a real discernment of how the family dynamics are. And if you totally. Can't get him to change that space.
If you can't, if when you ask him to change the behavior, it does not change. I mean, that's his choice.
That's your impasse. Yeah.
And so I would educate the kid. How old's the kid or kids?
Teenagers.
Okay.
They're teenagers.
Well, that's plenty old to be able to talk to them about fear and the mismanagement of fear. You know, this is how dad acts when he feels scared and thinks he's out of control, as if control is real. But, you know, when people are afraid, they either project it out in the form of criticism, or they try to self-medicate their anxiety with controlled behavior. So I think that can absolutely be said to a teenager. I say stuff like that to kids all the time. And do not attach yourself to changing your parents' behavior.
Amen. You can't do that.
And you do you, and you act according to your values. If you can get to empathy for dad, great. But that is not a requirement. You can be mad that dad does. You're a teenager. You get to.
I always say they could say, thanks for sharing. You're not feel that way. Thanks for sharing.
I can say thank you for that because to me, that's insincere.
Yeah, I know it is.
Thanks for sharing. You know what I mean? Sharing.
But it does cut the energy. It's like, thanks for sharing. Like, you're allowed to feel that way. It can
cut
it off.
You're allowed to feel that way, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. Like, I don't want to be around this, so I'm going.
I'm leaving now.
This is a little bit of a negative vibe for me. I don't want to get all over me, so I'm going to go in the other room. And I would grant that kid permission to leave the room whenever they are experiencing, like, catching that cold. That depression, that anxiety, cold, whatever's going on with the dad, that mood.
Yeah.
They have a right
to leave.
Boundary off from that. Yeah. And that means get out of the, I don't mean they get to just like roam the streets or whatever.
Yeah, no, just a different
way from it.
Yeah, a different room. And it is good when you say that, because I know even with my kids, when I say, I'm like, okay, this behavior is not acceptable. I get, you need to go through it. I'm going to go to the other room. And when you want to talk about this, you know where I am. And I think a lot of people, they don't even communicate like that anymore. They're just so used to ping-ponging and yelling the energy. Yeah. It's sort of like, okay. Like, yeah. But when
I,
you can say that.
Teens go and go into their bedrooms, which is usually their space, right?
Yeah.
And then write out their feelings. Usually yeah. it might start with like fear, some sadness, anger. You're probably going to get to anger in a situation like that. So yeah. write out all your feelings, because that's the process of validation, and then tear it up in little pieces and go throw it away. That's a physical representation of letting go. Yeah. You know, you
or burn it too.
To forgive
they can them. Burn it too. If they know, if they're gentle, I always like to burn those, but if they're gentle, don't burn
burning. Your house. I definitely prefer burning. I just don't want to tell.
Yeah, no. Yeah. We don't want to cause fires.
Yeah. Under parental supervision, go ahead yes. and burn that. But tearing it up happen. Feels great too. Yeah, and does. Relieving. So whatever the thing is, get rid of them. Don't yeah. let other people's emotional experience and mismanagement of their emotions get on you. You have choices of how to let that go.
Well, and that's what happens.
Separate.
And that's what happens when they become adults then, right? We've taken in all this stuff, and that's one of my favorite exercises, because people, I said, this does, it actually releases that energy out of the body. Like you said, it totally. Doesn't store in the organs, and you're not going to end up sick when you're 50 years old.
Totally. And the first time someone, I think my acupuncturist told me to do that, write it down and burn it stuff. I was in my 30s then. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not doing that. That's stupid. I mean, talk about teenager behavior. I'm not doing that. And I'm always a no before I'm a yes. But I did it. Yeah. I bitched about it. And then I went and I did it. And yeah. I could feel that. I could feel the release. And I do it all the time now. And you can, the ugliest stuff, you're getting rid of it yeah. anyway. So yep. don't deny the ugly that comes out. You don't have to be like diplomatic. No yep. one's going to see it. You can write all the ugly stuff out. Be truthful with yourself and then get rid of it. And then you're like, light.
I love it. I love it. We have Ashley on the line. Is that correct, Zach?
Yes, we have Ashley from Mississauga. Ashley, you are live on the Tracy L. Clark show.
The whatever show we're in right now today. Hi, Ashley.
Hello. How are you girls doing?
Fabulous. Do you have a question today?
I do. I have a 17-year-old son who's going on 18, and unfortunately, he hasn't talked to me much in the last 2.5 years. He's been in a custody battle with a domestic violence history. And when I finally learned to put boundaries and say no to his father, he took him with him and made, you know, brainwash. And so me putting up boundaries has kind of backfired on me. So I have a 12-year-old son as well, and he's actually so different and so mature for his age. So he understands the concept of how they behave. It's not healthy, and it's sabotaged his relationship, unfortunately, with his father and brother, because he hasn't joined their side. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to reach out to him to try to, you know, I've tried, I love you, I'm here for you, but nothing. But just to help him see the light, to see the truth of the manipulation that's gone on with him. And it's hard at his age, because they're, you know, he's going to be 18. Totally. So how do you unbrainwash all the, you know, all that stuff? Women are bad, women are, you know, that kind of stuff.
That is so rough. I'm sorry about that. Wow. You don't. It's so easy to validate wanting to control that situation, wanting to get your truth into that dark situation. And 17, you know that a lot of times, like, three-year-olds will act worse with the parent that they feel safer with. This could be a long game situation. So it could be years before he figures it out, if he figures it out. The brainwashing, like, that's going on in an environment that you don't have any access to. So besides the fact that I believe we can't control other people's behaviors, even when we're in front of them, you don't even have access to that kid. And I would argue, you said that your boundaries backfired. I disagree with that. I think you did the thing.
Oh, I have to agree with you right there. I'm watching the energy as you're talking. You need to congratulate yourself for those boundaries. Seriously, I get chills. It's like,
I do too.
You should be so grateful that you did that and proud of yourself. And
the 12-year-old felt that, by the way. Yeah. And yes. And you might be worried that the 12-year-old, like, they're going to backfire. No. You do the parenting that you are doing. Tell the truth. Have boundaries. Saying no is still part of it, even though you must be terrified to do it now.
Yeah.
Because one is gone temporarily. I don't believe that it's forever.
I actually have to agree with you there. I'm watching that energy and the shift with the way things are moving, and there's
over there, and then he's going to come running back to where it's safe and where truth can actually happen, and he isn't going to get messed with psychologically. I don't see how that wouldn't happen.
I totally get it. Can I just add, top of it, the heart-wrenching part as a mom? It came out last April. He actually went to a principal and told him that he was sexually abused with a group of teenage boys from his best friend's dad. And this father of his, my ex, has no remorse and is not getting him help, not getting him counseling for this. And this is apparently happening for the last 2 years. And again, I had no control or no knowledge of that. This is while he's been living with his father. So it's like he's not getting the help he needs. And I can't even do it. So it's heart-wrenching to sit back and be like, is that experience for him going to really, affect him in a negative way without being able to release it? You know what I'm saying?
No. That's trauma. That's trauma. That's going to need work and healing for sure. Yeah. He's still a minor, so you do have some legal options, but maybe he turns 18 and he starts making his own choices around that. And then you can encourage him to go get help. I hope you have the funds ready for something like that. I think maybe putting money aside for when he comes to you for that help might be the best thing you can do for him right now while you don't have access to him. Heart-wrenching. I mean, I feel my heart wrenching for you. I'm so sorry this is happening. That's so heavy. Whoa.
Lifting some of the energy, and you can burping. I'm like, you can see there's a lot of agreements too on the energetics that we make with the people we come into, right? And some of that time too is just when you're asking the universe or whatever, or God, if you understand, however you like to say it, asking for that truth to come out and just, pressing into that for that truth to come out. And exactly like Dr. Kelly is saying, if you can get ready for when he reemerges, because I feel like that's going to happen for sure. And I agree with you there, and energetically you see it. So get ready for when he emerges. And also, maybe if I can add this, and you can let me know energetically what it kind of shows there, is that to also be ready with how she can open, when he comes up. Like, so there is that safety. So what can she do now to prepare? So we've got, the funds for the help and stuff. But as a mother, what can she do prepare to help, like, when he does open that door again?
Oh, I would read everything.
Yeah.
I would collect articles
that
are age appropriate. And I would say in this case, sex appropriate, meaning male. Yeah. I think it's a different animal for male-bodied people to deal with sexual abuse. So I would get support groups lined up. I would get articles and books about the topic, both for him and for you as the parent. And knowledge is power.
Yeah. It actually looks actually, if you start to gain that information when he opens the door, you're going to be so ready. So I would look at this as, you know, the universe giving you a little bit of a prepping ground. I know it's easy as a mother. I trust me, like as a mother, I can, yeah, those are these things that you're like, what can I do? And you feel helpless and we can start to energetically lift that. But I can tell you, like, if there's strength in what's being said here, if you prepare and you're like, my door is going to be open when he gets here, I'm going to know who I think the best people are, you know, and how you can deal with that. And, you know, I'm reading your book, Dr. Kelly, and also being able to arm yourself on this new perspective. And you have people like her that's there, that's ready, that could help, you know, you can reach out to Dr. Kelly, I'm sure, when ready, right? And this is why we've been on the show, because these are things that as parents to navigate through. And this is why I love what she does and what you're doing. Like, you should be so proud of yourself. But this is like, I just see it as a prepping ground to be ready for when he opens the door. I get chills. Like, how does that feel, Ashley?
Me too. I think I goosebumps. Truth.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You be so proud of yourself. She's very grateful. Be so proud of yourself for your boundaries. Like Dr. Kelly said, be proud of yourself. You've got all these resources. We're all here. And whatever you need, like, I'm sure if you don't know, you can ask and we'll find stuff. Like, we all do that as a community. And make sure you'll be ready.
And don't reactionarily get lax on boundaries.
Yes.
Now with the 12-year-old and then with the 17-year-old or whatever year old when he comes back. It's still a hard line with rules and privileges and consequences.
Yeah. That's love for them. They see you love them as much as they say no. That feel better, Ashley?
It would be about you if you got lax and your fear. Parenting is about them, so you stay strong.
And
trust yourself.
Okay. Awesome. Go have an incredible day.
Good luck, Ashley.
You too. Lots of love. You too. Thank you so much. You too.
You're welcome, bye-bye, sweetheart. You know, as parent, all these dynamics, right? And we all know as we get older, and I know when I deal with people energetically and physically and all the stuff going on, it is. It comes back to, fortunately or unfortunately, this trauma that we go through as children, right? And it's like, how do we come through that? And I had another question that was sent in was, what do you suggest for children that are younger and the parents are fine? It's not about that, but they're struggling with, why can't I play with my friend? And you can say, well, there's a virus. They don't get that. They don't get that when they're younger, right?
What age are we talking about?
Five.
A five-year-old can get it.
I guess they get it, but it's like they still, okay, maybe it's a different way. They still, here, I'll put it the right way here. I'll pull it up.
I talk to 2-year-olds.
Like, they get it. Yeah. You just can't play with them.
No, I would explain the physiology of it.
Yeah.
This is, you know, germs, the concept of germs, it does not elude young kids. Now, of course, you want to give it to them in a way that doesn't completely freak them out. But,
well, because that's the other part of this question. When you have half of them, so you have, you know, they're not afraid of it or whatever. They understand germs and that concept, but it's hard for the kid to understand why some can play, why some can't, why some, because parents are freaking out, right? Like, you got kids where some parents are so freaked out, and but that's their buddy, but their parents not freaked out.
Right, right. Well, and that happens a lot with families. Families have different rules and values all the time. I mean, that's an old line. Well, Janie's parents let her do it. You know, well, if Janie jumped off a cliff, would you, you know, like,
yeah, that old.
Parents know how to field this kind of stuff. This is more complicated than that.
Well, it is because
our family values are this. Yeah. And this is what we believe, and other families can believe and behave according to their beliefs this is what our family is doing. And then right into the validation. And I know how hard it is for you because you don't get to see your best friend. And that can be confusing because your best friend is seeing other friends. So let's talk about how that makes you sad and makes you mad and makes you scared. Let's talk about your feelings now about what's going on. And they ought to be a little bit afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to take away kids' survival mechanisms.
Oh, no.
No. You know, like we can't protect them from every
truth that goes on.
I think telling the truth, maybe always, not the whole truth, you do it in an age-appropriate way, but you talk to them as though you assume they will understand. They don't have to agree, by the way. They're five.
No.
I'm the boss. This is how our family is behaving. We're all behaving this way. And I'm sorry that it's hard for you.
I like how you say that, too. And I agree with the validation. It's so important because most people in all of life, no matter where we are, it's just that validation of how we're feeling. And right now, like a lot of adults are going through it too. A lot of adults are confused. A lot of adults are scared. Your kids are going to pick that up as well. And I think there's a lot of shame with adults too, or feeling like they're not the right parent by saying, you know what, I'm afraid of what's happening right now. Or, you know, I'm a little extra stressed because I don't know if I'm going to have my job. A lot of people, right, they're going through this. And then I'm a little stressed because if I don't have my job, then I can't pay and take care of you guys. Like there's a lot of people going through this.
Absolutely.
That don't want to talk about it because they feel ashamed. Like they did something.
Yes. And, or they're not doing a good enough job at fill in the blank. I mean, it is such a hard time for families and parents. I so feel for parents right now. And get them outside.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't, not necessarily around other people, but let them run in the grass.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the weather's like. It's quite warm here now and everybody's out and that's great.
Yeah, it's here now too. It finally came out. Get them outside, get in the sun.
I mean, I do that anyway. When I was a nanny, it was always like, get outside. What are you doing? Get out.
Well, and because the sun and the fresh air and they burn off the steam. And I also wear a lot of parents right now coping with their kids at home while they're working from home. And then there's also a lot of, rather than explaining, what I've heard is parents are like, I'm so embarrassed because my kid runs in the meeting, right? Well, I'm having a meeting or my kid's making, I'm like, so everybody else is working from home.
Totally.
Like, get over it. But it's, and some of that I look at, it's their, you know, there's this shame about my parenting and my work are all separate things. And well,
that's the fear. Okay. So fear and then control, try to self-medicate your fear with control, perfectionism.
Yeah.
I got to do a good job. Got to do a good job. Got to do the best job. Got to do the same quality job as when quarantine wasn't happening. Not reality.
Yeah,
bring that bar way, way, way down. If you do anything that is even a little bit difficult in a day, please acknowledge yourself for doing it. Let the mistakes happen.
And if they can do that, the kids learn that it, like, I always say, we got to fall down to learn. We got to fall down to learn if you're not falling down. So if they see you doing it and you can laugh at it, or you could say, okay, whatever, I fell down. We're humans. That's how we learn. Then doesn't that give the child, in my opinion, a better chance to literally, that foundation is stronger. And when they fall down, they laugh and they're like, okay, I just got to keep on going. Yeah.
You model that behavior for the kid. And if you go into a shame spiral that is caused by anxious self-centeredness, then that's where you stay. You never get to the part about regulating your fear, which is actually what's going on. The shame is controlling behavior, trying to escape what's actually going on, which is the fear. I cannot stress enough how much fear needs to be validated and then get some problem solving and skills around fear right now, because people going to shame and it's, oh, I'm such a bad person. First of all, gross.
Yeah. Secondly, gross.
You're eroding your self-esteem so hardcore in lockdown, you think when you're let out, that's going to magically go away. No, no, no.
It'd be worse.
No. Deal with the anxiety, and then that takes courage. Then you get to be proud of yourself for doing the hard thing, which is facing your fear.
You got love and you got fear. I say, then you got all these other emotions on top of either side, right? And I love that you say that, because I'm like, exactly. I'm like, all these negative emotions, they exactly like you said, boil down to fear. What are you afraid of, and deal with it? Move over here. And I love that you said that. I can't believe we're almost at the top of the hour here. I love that you said that. Okay, one, I want people to know where they can find you. I like, how does the hour just, we didn't even take a break. We're like, blah. Zach, we're running out of time.
There's so much to say.
Oh, you'll be back. I love you. Here we come, my regular, regular day. One, where they can find you, because I know parents don't, here's the cool thing about you that I love, and I want parents to understand this. One of the things that I love from the minute I met you was you are out of the box, you're connected, you're no BS, you see right away, and it's, you're also, how do I say, I'm trying to, can I even say this? Hopefully I can and I'll get shot. You're not all about, let's put you on a bunch of drugs and shut you in the corner.
Oh, God, no.
And I love this, because so many parents come to me and say, I don't want to medicate my kid. I know I got to do something different. I have to. And I need to look at it differently. And, you know, you're an expert in this field. Children and the way you work with them. And guys listening, kids love her. And the reason they love you is because you're real, you're on their level, and you just can have fun with them. So this is what I love so much about you, is you are changing the way of this sit down and let's just talk about how you feel and leave. Sorry, that sounds rude, but it's true.
It's true.
It doesn't work anymore.
It ever did.
You are pioneering a new way of getting real with children to make an actual difference, so they change and become the best humans they can be.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to give them tools.
Yeah. And you're the woman. I'm so proud that you did this. And I know you had your own hurdles to come out. And I know that people have gone against you because you're like, no, what you're doing is wrong and it's not working. Yeah. And that is why I'm so proud of you, because that's that knowing. You just know this is the right thing. You know in your heart and your soul, I don't care what people call it, God of your understanding, universe of mind, you know something deeper is inside you saying, keep going, because it's the right way.
For sure.
100%. So how do they find you? I want you to tell them.
It's just drjjkelly.com. You can set up like 60-minute free consults there.
Yeah.
You know, the classes are all online now, the 8-week classes, and those are so fun. Great. And so rewarding, because to watch in 8 weeks, that's no time in like therapy world. And to watch real change happen in that amount of time is such a privilege.
And this is what's so beautiful, because you have narrowed it down for parents listening, and you can even if you forget or you can't find it, we will get you guys connected. This
everything is Dr. JJ Kelly, like JJKELLY. There's tons of free content.
You have so much, and your book and your content and
Instagram, tons. I mean, there's so, I have, oh,
and you're fun, and girl, I got my convertible out today. So now we can be our convertible friends. Finally hit. Finally, winter went away. I thought of you today. I took it around the corner. I'm like,
Nice. We'll do a Zoom call when we're both in our cars.
We should, from our cars. We'll have a good time. Or maybe we'll do a Facebook Live, or we'll do a, that's probably what we'll do, or an Instagram.
That's a great idea, actually.
Yeah, we'll do a Facebook Live, you and I. And guys, so like, this is just, and your book, and I can't stress, but I have a question. What was your wake up moment where you realized that it was time to take kids in a different direction? What was it that hit you? Because you're so beautiful at what you do.
I should have prepared for this. I don't want to like take anybody down answering this question.
No.
I knew that. It's basically when I knew that I had seen the best in the field, and that was still not enough.
Yeah.
And there's to to be elevated within a system that is so systemically flawed and has a ceiling, and, you know, like a patriarchal ceiling, a racist, you know, ableist, homophobic, like there, this system is built from something very old. And
so, so is the financial system, the government system, the school system, everything. Gotta go.
And so when I started to expand and then got sort of a collective pushback from the best, I was like, uh-oh. And the fantasy that is encouraged within a psychotherapy situation, the one-on-one, like, I'm not a person, I'm just somebody that you project your feelings about your mom upon, like, creating and encouraging that fantasy when usually the professional is a narcissist, like, leading the blind much. Like, and I mean clinical narcissism, not like how people use it, like dick, like just a rude person. It's not that. It's a pervasive belief of inadequacy that leads to overcompensating behaviors. It's a, you're not a whole person. You're filled with shame. And now you're taking money when you don't even like yourself. You're taking money from other people to teach them how to like themselves.
Amen.
That is not,
No. You know what? I want to quickly say this before we sign off. The reason I got into what I was doing, I'd seen many counselors and I had a lot of issues, a lot of problems, a lot of things had gone on. And I went to this lady, paid her $200. I was like, oh, go to the psychologist. And she said to me, I was in a very abusive relationship, had a lot of trauma, right? A lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, well, I stayed in my abusive relationship, so you should too.
Oh, no, she did not.
She did. And I walked out and I went into my car and I bawled and bawled because I got the courage to leave, right? I bawled and bawled and I called my mother and she's like, oh my God, for real. I said, yeah, that's what she said. I said, I felt like I was sitting there counseling this woman. And then she says this to me. I said, I just want some help on how to, like you said, create some boundaries, love myself again, like structure my life. And that's what she said. And I'd seen a lot like this. And I said, I am so done. And it's how I turned to doing what I'm doing today, because I wasn't getting any guidance. I needed tools. Like you said,
you needed validation first. What the hell does she have to do with anything?
I was like, what does your marriage have to do with my marriage?
That is such a projection and such a typical narcy move, by the way. And if that's what's going on behind closed doors where nobody sees it, that's
harm.
That is not what it's supposed to be about. That is not helping. That is not service to humanity. I think that is unethical. And I am making something new because I just cannot.
And that's why I love you so much. And I'm so glad you were here because that is what you're doing. And you are everything about this new way. And I love it because these systems are done. They're crumbling. They're over. We're going to see the next 10 years. We're going to see huge transformation. Yeah. You and I, we're going to keep pushing into that. And I just love you. And thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you too. It's so fun. I could do it for hours. I love the call. The call thing was a great idea too. I love having the spontaneous.
We'll get some more, but we'll do some Facebook lives because it's time. So thank you everybody. I'm so happy you joined. I know usually on the Facebook, there's lots of comments. I get to you later, but make sure I'll put this up. You can watch the replay. You have not seen the end of our beautiful, beautiful guest today. So lots of love. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., where I teach you how to connect to the God consciousness so you can unlock your superpowers and connect at light speed and live your extraordinary life. Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where together we will unlock the secrets of your body and your life.
As a founder of the Body Regeneration Academy, I, Tracy Al, will provide you with the insight and simple tools you can apply right now in your life to move you forward and leave the past in the dust. To join the Body Regeneration TLC Online Academy, make sure you check me out at TracyLClark.com.